on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hi, friends. Welcome to We Are the BYC. I'm Dawn, the human behind the Instagram account at Baby Yoda SD, inviting you to join us for a delightful journey into the heart of the Baby Yoda community. Picture this podcast as your exclusive invitation to a favorite neighborhood coffee shop where enthusiastic members of the BYC gather to share heartwarming stories and laughter, uncovering the untold tales and vibrant personalities of the humans behind these precious Baby Yodas, whether you're a longtime member or a newcomer. Get ready to join the fun as we embark on an adventure filled with camaraderie, emotion, and a whole lot of Baby Yoda love. Pull up a chair, grab your favorite drink, and let's dive in. Welcome back to part two of the interview with Aurora from Who Ate Our Snacky Snacks. We're going to pick up right where we left off last time. So if you didn't hear the first episode, I definitely encourage you to go back and listen. Hope you enjoy the rest of the show. Speaking of snacks,
yes.
Grogu and siblings wants to know, do all of the babies have a favorite snacky snack?
Oh, that's a good question. You know what? No, they don't. Not everybody does, but some do. Grogu, his favorite snack has always been popcorn. It's his very favorite, and he could eat it all day, every day, if we would allow him.
I can relate to that. I love popcorn.
Yes, I know. Same here. Thaddeus really likes donuts. We all do here, but like he has a special passion for them. And then, of course, one of our new tiny herd babies, Dorito. I'm pretty sure his favorite snacky snack is self-explanatory, but it is nacho cheese Doritos. And then let's see. Does anyone else have anything specific? I think that Sadie probably has the healthiest snacking habits.
Oh, really?
It's not that she doesn't eat her junk food, but like she makes an effort to eat healthy during the day so that she can go wild with the other babies in the evening.
Yeah, smart.
Yeah, she'll have like a salad lunch or some sushi or, you know, she'll make a concerted effort to try and feed everybody apples and things like that. And she has on occasion had to tell Thaddeus that like berries, like strawberries and raspberries are candy so that he'll eat them because he hates healthy food, of course. So, a couple of the babies do have a specific favorite snacky food, but generally speaking, we're a bunch of animals here and we'll eat anything.
That makes it easy though. It's like as long as you have a couple favorites for them, for the ones who really want it, it seems like everybody's easy to please.
Right. Yes, very much so. Yeah.
Okay, Grogu Little Green has a question for Nimoy.
Oh, okay.
How many snacky snacks can a snacky snack snack?
How many snacky snacks can a snacky snack snack? That is a terrific question and quite a tongue twister. Okay, so the question is for Nimoy, and Nimoy is named after Leonard Nimoy, who played Mr. Spock. So I'm going to give the answer that Nimoy would say in a truly Mr. Spock fashion, which is that the question itself is highly illogical. Because it assumes that there is or should be a limit on snackies. And there shouldn't be. So there you go.
That is perfectly said.
Thank you.
I mean, how do you answer that question? But yeah, Nimoy did it. That's exactly right.
Yep.
Okay, Baby Yoda Bach wanted to know, have you found out who ate your snackies?
Yes. There was a post that I did, or that the babies did, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was Grogu specifically. He made a post around Halloween of, oh gosh, I guess Halloween 2023, where it was his first appearance as Detective Grogu, which later led to the formation of the Green Man Detective Agency. his mission in this specific post was to find out who ate my snacky snacks, because he had just received a jumbo box of mini chocolate bars from Amazon, Kit Kat bars, and he discovered that the box was empty when he went to go have his snacky snack. So he put on his detective hat, got out his magnifying glass, and off he went in search of the age-old question, who ate my snacky snacks? And so he ended up following the trail of candy wrappers and was shocked to discover that the perpetrator of such a heinous crime was his sparkly pink cat, Plushy, who is also named Kit Kat. And he was passed out in a bunch of Kit Kat wrappers. And so that is the answer to the question.
Oh, no. It was that pink kitty this whole time.
I know.
Well, that was some good detective work. I mean.
Yeah, it was. And he had his own pipe and everything. And it was very Holmesian. And
yeah.
I mean, it was actually a little bit ridiculous. And I remember it was a Huffy post because Grogu had his, you know, his detective gear out. But he was also, I think he was dressed like a maniac. Like he had some kind of a Halloween scarf on as a cape and, you know, maybe a witch hat or something. Like, it was pretty funny. Like, I thought it was funny. I don't know if anybody else did, but.
He was serious. Well, he was probably serious about his outfit.
He was very serious about it. That was his, you know, his midday snacky, and it was gone.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny when I see the babies, like how you're describing his outfit. It, like, in my mind, I'm picturing, like a little kid going and, like, putting on all the stuff. And in his mind, like, he needs all of this. This is his cape for, you know, whatever action he's going to be doing, and he's going to need the witch's hat. And, like, I don't know. It's so funny. I don't, when I'm looking at the post, I don't see the people behind the post. I just see the babies doing their thing. And
absolutely.
Your account for one is like, I don't know. Just for me, it's wild. It's a bunch of wild little kids just going crazy. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Well, and Stewie the child came up with a little name for us, which is we're the Rainbow Cities. I guess because we're always dressed in such bright colors all the time. And I actually really, really love that. And so that is definitely something that I try to incorporate, is like being bright and colorful in it, because it just conveys a sense of cheerfulness and welcome without, if anybody doesn't want to read my marathon captions, you don't have to. You can just look at this nice, pretty picture and then be on your way, and that's fine too.
But the thing is, it makes you want to read it, because you're like, what is going on in this picture? You know, it's just so much visual stimulation. You have to find out what the situation is here.
Yes, well, absolutely. And in fact, it works brilliantly with a post that Ellie made today, which is for our friend Luna's second birthday. And it's fashion themed party. So Ellie wanted to show her own personal style. often involves wearing like really big tutu skirts. Like the bigger, the better for her.
Yeah.
And like the more eccentric, the better. But today she found that the tutu skirt she wanted to wear would cover up the writing on her shirt. So she decided to put the tutu on her head and is wearing it as a hat. So if you're scrolling through like that, that has to kind of catch one's attention because it does look a little fun, a little bit funny. But
that's so cute.
But that's Ellie for you.
Yeah, I love their interpretations of things.
Yes.
And it's like, do you find that the baby's personalities, they, I mean, I know, and I've talked to other people about it, but yeah. I feel like they're a version of us in some way, but do you find that their personalities kind of surpass what you have envisioned for them? Like it comes out of them without you having to, you know, be the one to instigate it.
Yeah, I think so. I really do. And some might take a little bit longer for that, the full personality to be fleshed out and developed. But yes, I do sort of see it as being like pretty organic thing that or organic evolution that they are doing based on the comments they make, the posts they create. You know, we might start them off with a favorite color or something like that, but they totally make it their own thing for sure.
I think with the interacting as well with the friends in the community, it kind of helps to establish their personalities, just the way people interact or react to them. It's kind of a group effort almost.
You know what? That is very true because we're all buying into the same idea that, yep, this is even the way we speak to each other.
Yeah.
I have some formal academic training and I didn't write in baby talk for my thesis work, you know? but we all accept that this is part of the convention of the world that they live in and, you know, we just roll with it.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny. Have you had your phone? My phone has started doing that thing where it's so used to writing things in baby speak that it will automatically will autocorrect, where if I'm trying to say look, it'll correct it to wook.
Oh my gosh. I actually don't really have that specific issue, but I do have another autocorrect issue that kind of always makes me laugh. And when you write the same baby talk word repeatedly, you know, your phone learns, okay, this is how this person speaks. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what triggers this, but some of my regular words that I will use, like, for example, friends will no longer come up as like one of my repeatedly used words, and it will autocorrect to Gwendolyn.
Oh!
Which, I don't know how you get from A to B on that one at all, and that's a real head scratcher. Or friends can also autocorrect to fiends, and so I have to be really careful that I'm not calling someone my dear fiend because you know, a fiend isn't very nice. I don't want to call, like, the babies don't want to call their friends.
Wednesday would love that, I'm sure, but yeah, generally no.
I love Wednesday, actually. She's great.
She's really fun to post for.
I can imagine, and I can actually relate a lot to her because I used to look just like her in my late teens. So.
Oh, cute! Yeah. Oh, wow!
Yeah, I was super into like goth and heavy metal culture in the late 90s, and so and my parents were pretty accepting that as long as go to school and get the grades you can get, you know, do whatever you want and your life is your life. So I had the black hair and the combat boots and you know, the long black dresses. I'll never forget, they were so good about buying me a full length black dress to wear to my grade 8 graduation. And I mean, the other parents must have thought, like, what is wrong with these people? But they let me do my thing. Aww. And so that I will always be super grateful for that. And that's part of the reason why I'm very okay with going out with the babies now and with my tender heart care bear, because I always got that support at home. And I never felt like, I suppose I always thought, like, if other people want to look or it's not for them, like, that's okay. It's it's my life, so yeah. I'm going to have my experience my way.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think it does. It does kind of go back to how things were for you in the formative years, you know, not only childhood, but like teen years, for sure. If you were able to express yourself.
It has to be. Yeah, and for my 13th birthday, like, my mom was super cool. She went to the stationery store and bought like black wrapping paper and black crepe paper and black bows and like wrapped up like my Metallica CDs and black paper. And so she gave me like the birthday party that she would give normally, but did it for me. And like, that was so cool. That was really nice.
That is really cool. Yeah. I can totally picture this like a whole, like, I mean, not like it's Wednesday Addams theme, but it's, yeah, just all black and dark. And...
Well, listen, take notes. And when it's her birthday, now you know what to do.
Yes. I am actually thinking of that.
There you go.
Perfect. So Baby Yodito wanted to know, who is your favorite Baby Yoda?
Oh.
And why does Daddy often forget to wear his pants?
I knew somebody was going to ask that. Sorry.
Well, Grogu Little Green also wants to know, for Daddy, how Nakey is too Nakey.
Okay, there is an answer to that one. Too Nakey is no sockies.
Oh,
Daddy likes to have his sockies on. Unless he's like at the beach or something. In which case, you know, full birthday suit is in effect. okay, so that's the answer to Little Green's question. And for Yodito, why does he always lose his pants? Well, first of all, he's always been a really silly and free-spirited baby. The moment he arrived home, he immediately took off his tunic. And the second outfit he wore that wasn't the original robe was we have a little suit of like Mandalorian armor, but all it is really is like silver mesh that's sewn into like a tunic style top. And that's what he wore as his second outfit. So like right from the beginning, this kid has been basically without pants and like as close to like living in the Garden of Eden as you can be. And I suppose, you know, we did the no pants bit a couple times and it got a few laughs. And just like everything Thaddeus does, if it makes somebody happy or if he gets a laugh, he's going to keep doing it. it's kind of snowballed into like a whole thing now. But his being a nature boy actually did help someone in our family. When it was Grogu's first birthday, he was still in his original robe. And by this point, you know, Thaddeus had already been all over the place without his pants and so on and so forth. And so Thaddeus really helped to encourage Grogu to take that really big first step and take off his robe. So he encouraged his brother and held his hand while we put the tags and got that all set. Because I don't know, maybe without Thaddeus, Grogu might still be in the original robe, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
But it opened up a new world of fashion possibilities for Grogu now that he can put on like whatever.
Yeah, well, it's really, I mean, the way the original robes are attached, like you literally have to cut the cord and remove them. It's hard.
That's why I didn't do it at first, like for him. I something about it I really struggled with it, and he did too. But with Thaddeus's help, we both overcame our fear and, you know, off we go. But it is a great question. Thank you so much, Yodito, my fellow nature boy.
I love the things that the community asks, because, you know, these are people who look at the post every day. They get to know the babies and, you know, they're coming up with such amazing questions because they want to know, you know, a little bit more about what they see every day, or, you know, so it's just
They're so wonderful, and it's really neat to see, or rather in this case to hear what resonates with other people. I try to put like some thought and effort, and I know a lot of other people do as well, into mm-hmm. each post, into crafting really long captions and taking really nice pictures. But it's people read things in different ways, things hit you at different moments and different times in different ways. And so hearing these questions, it's really cool that like some of the things that stick out to other community members and what do they want to know more about. So what I'm hearing is we definitely want to see more posts with Thaddeus with no pants on. Coming right up.
I'm sure he'll have no problem.
He'll be so happy, honestly.
Well, before I forget, we have a couple more questions about snacks and food adventures. Patu Towers wants to know, how much food do you go through in a week with such a snacktastic family?
Yeah, it's a lot. Like, I don't even know if it's quantifiable, but we definitely need to have like daily snacky runs. And Ellie and her best friend Munchkin are always going to Costco to load up her car with the day's supplies, which we very quickly demolish. So it's a lot, probably an abnormal amount. And like, also keep in mind, we're a rather large family. So like, there are a few babies here. So like, there's a lot of mouths to feed. So that means, one bag of cookies is not going to cut it.
Oh, no, not at all.
No, definitely not. But it is, it's changed my shopping habits. That's for sure. Like if I'm at the store on my own, I'll wander down the snacks aisle, not because I particularly need anything, but just to see like, what's new, what's exciting, what can maybe, what would look cute for the babies to try or like bring to a party.
Oh, because
when they go to events, they like to be good party guests and bring a snacky, and they don't want to bring an apple every time. So we need to find like the latest, whatever, chalky bar or what have you.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, they're like introducing new things to the community too. And
well, and also like we're part of a global community of babies who like snackies, and what we have here in Canada is different, like in some respects, well for sure, from what you have in the States, because I don't think you folks have ketchup chips, is that right?
No, yeah, we don't.
Right?
We don't have
that. Even something like you're our direct neighbor, we have this one very special snacky that is very delicious that you don't have. But especially when we're talking to some of the European friends and things like that, we all have vastly different, yes, Doritos are common and so on and so forth, but there's all kinds of chocolate bars and candies and things that like we don't have here or they don't have there. So like when I buy something for the babies, it's also to share it with the community and say like, look, this exists.
Yeah, it's interesting. I do like that. It's like Yodi the Snackfluencer showing us his snackies, and
yes,
it's fascinating to me.
And that's a classic example. And like we love tuning in to watch Yodi. And his rating system is fantastic, and he's such a star. We love him.
Yes. Let's see. Stewie the Child wanted to know, and this is for Auntie. Speaking of snacks, do you have a favorite family recipe or like a traditional dish?
So in my family, growing up, we didn't have a lot of specific traditions or things like that. But something I always loved growing up was my mom used to make a great meat lasagna with ricotta cheese. That was lovely.
Yeah.
And my dad to this day makes an incredible jambalaya. It's a labor intensive dish for him. So like he doesn't make it often, but oh my goodness. And like, it's so good that I would never order it at a restaurant because I like dad's version of it. It's just so, so yummy. And my sister's a great cook. She does, usually for my birthday, she'll make a no bake cherry cheesecake, which is just so good.
Oh man.
So good. You know, that I myself can have a real snack-cident with that one. it's so good. And I'm, admittedly not much of a cook. I purposely avoided learning to cook when I was growing up because I just wanted to spend all my time reading. And I figured if I never participate or show any interest, then I won't have to do it. And I can just sit here and read. And so, my cooking skills are somewhat limited, but in the last couple of years, my sister and I have learned how to do a really nice turkey in the oven. The secret is to cook it with the breast down, and then the whole bird is just moist and delicious.
Oh, good idea. Yeah, because it's always breast up and it gets so dried out.
Exactly. And so like where you have the darker meat that's usually very moist and whatnot, every bite in the whole bird is like that. And so that's a fun tip if anyone for the carnivores in the community who are eat meat. But yeah, that's a great question from Stewie. And I wish I had a better answer.
I think that's perfect.
Oh good.
Yeah. So we know that the babies do share home with kitties.
Yes.
So there's a couple questions about the cats. From Patu Towers, she wants to know, do the kitties and babies always get along?
Yes, pretty much. We have an interesting kitty cat. So the simple answer to the question is yes, they get along just fine. And in fact, the cats really seem to like the babies. Anytime I'm setting up a photo staging area for whatever party or event that the babies are going to go to, even if it's just doing a happy mail thank you, at least one of the cats will come show up and just plop themselves in the middle of the frame. So they come to a lot of UIC events because they're just there and there's no moving them. There's no telling. So they're there. And so they're now an active part of, presence on the account. The kitties like the babies and, they do get along very well. All of my cats are rescues and they come from non-traditional backgrounds. So with, for example, with Mirage, who I rescued her when she was semi-feral. So she had never lived with a person. She'd never lived in a house. So she had to learn all of these things with us. For her, she's fine with the babies, but we have to be careful that like if one of the babies wants to pet her or sit beside her, you can never do like a fast swoop in. You have to just be very careful with how you're presenting the baby and she's fine. It's just about recognizing like what her life experience is and making sure that she's comfortable with the situation.
I can definitely relate. Diego, our baby cat, which he's going to be 2 years old, he is the most curious cat I've ever come across. Anything you have or do, he wants to be right in the middle of it. And so it's almost impossible to get shots of the babies doing their thing without Diego right there.
Perfect.
So, I mean, it's fun. It's just, that's the baby's life. They have their cats to deal with.
Yeah, and I think it's nice showing the larger family that they're a part of.
Yeah.
You know, within their homes, because I, I don't, for myself, I don't view my kitty cats as a pet.
Right.
They are my family members.
Yeah.
They have fur, and a tail, but you know, other than that, like they're family. And so, I would never really want to separate the two worlds. Like it makes sense for, all the kitty and baby Yoda siblings to be together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And why not? Why shouldn't they have their kitties that they have to live with and deal with? So yeah.
Well, exactly. And like, I know that, some members of the community, don't have any pets right now, or you know, are not able to have pets, and so sometimes it's just nice to see a little bit of different content that has a little kitty cat or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I do recall with I mentioned that sometimes the kitties end up coming to some of the events, and I will never forget when the art show went to Paris. Sadie did a post with her art show teammate, who is now an emeritus member of the art team, Doodle. And Doodle helped Sadie learn how to wear a Parisian beret properly. And the little gem at the end of the post, if you looked at all the pictures, is that my orange cat, Butterscotch, is also pictured there. And he's also wearing a beret, which I find to be really funny, and I hope that a lot of people saw that and had a good chuckle, because I thought that was very cute.
I love when that happens. It's like, I mean, yeah, this is their life. Just bring everybody in.
Why not?
I think that's so funny.
And like, it doesn't have to be the main theme of the post or the main subject of it. It's just these sort of little Easter eggs.
Exactly.
If you want a little bit of bonus furry friend content, here you go.
Yes, I like that. I really love it. And it's, you know, we also kind of, I think, tend to get attached not only to the babies of the account, but the kitties and the dogs that are also involved.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, they become part of the community just like the babies are.
Well, exactly. And I think everyone knows, like, Collie's big brother, Papo, the dog.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Like, he's very beloved.
Exactly. Yep. It's totally their thing, you know? So
yeah.
I love that the kitties get involved. Baby Yoda Peanut wants to know, are your cats sometimes jealous when sharing the house and the can opener with so many green babies?
Sharing the house, no. But like the can opener, yes. when we have our evening dinner and snacky time, the cats get really worked up when, you know, I lean over and like feed Thaddeus his donut, or you know, give Sadie her pasta or whatnot. They get quite upset. So I actually do have to be a little bit careful that to give the babies their dinner and snackies when the cats aren't looking. especially Butterscotch and Mirage, because they will both, and they have done this to me, is where I've been taking a cute picture, you know, of the babies eating their dinner. And so my attention is for 5 seconds occupied elsewhere. And in that moment, Mirage stole a pierogi and ate it.
Oh.
So that little pierogi piece. So like I have... I really have to be careful, because they're opportunistic criminals, let me tell you.
For sure. Oh my gosh.
So that aspect of sharing food is a little bit of a challenge.
It's more of a challenge to consider that, you know, you're here trying to set up the scene for the babies, giving them their snacks, and at the same time fend off the cats who want to indulge on their snacks.
It's true. And I'm pretty sure a couple of these cats are stronger than me, so like I can't get into like a tug of war over a pizza. Like I'm gonna lose.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. All right, so in regards to like events, BYC events and parties,
yes.
Life of Baby Yoda wants to know, how are you able to keep up with so many events? She finds it fascinating and she just totally admires it.
Oh, well, that's so sweet. Nicole is just lovely. There's a couple ways to answer the question. And first and foremost is that I tend to be a fairly organized person. So if I see your party announcement, I write it down in my day book. Mm. I plan out what day I need to take pictures for the party. I write it in my book when the post needs to go up, and I schedule these things so that if I've seen your post, I want to do, the babies want to come to your party. So we do our best to participate as much as we can.
Yeah.
And I think this question is also, probably hinting at, maybe why or how I'm running so many events in the community.
And that is
the simple answer is I have the time. In my retirement, I don't have the same level of time commitments and responsibilities that other folks in the community have. And this is something that I do have some physical and cognitive limitations, but this is something I can do, and it's really fun. Why not do it? Especially if it makes everyone happy, and if we can find unique ways for the babies to have fun together, let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it makes you happy too. It's like
very much so. And I've always sort of been a multitasker. I don't know. Probably no one in the community would know this, because there'd really be no reason for me to say it. So I think we have an exclusive. Are you ready?
No. Yes.
While I was doing my undergraduate and graduate degrees, I also worked full time. During those degrees, and in a couple instances I was working full-time and part-time while going to school full-time. I'm many years removed from that now, and with the benefit of time, it doesn't even sound possible. With very good organization skills and time management, and a commitment to knowing that you're not going to get more than 3 or 4 hours sleep every night for a really long time, a lot is possible.
Yeah.
But my education was really important to me, and it's something that I didn't want to put off, which turned out to be the right decision, because life changed in unexpected ways, and if I'd waited, I wouldn't have it. So I'm not from a super wealthy background, but I come from a family where work ethic is really important. So mm-hmm. I wanted to go to school. You need to pay for school. So I went to work and I went to school. And, that gave me a lifelong ability as a multitasker. So all of these various factors kind of come into play as to why I am able to seemingly be managing 50 events at the same time.
Yeah. Well, organization is key, is what it kind of sounds like. Just planning, organizing, sticking to that schedule in a way.
Yep, and not having the same time responsibilities that other people do, and that's a huge factor. So nobody should feel bad if they're not running one event a year or whatever. really, I have the time, and the BYC has given me an incredible gift, and hopefully. Running these events is a little way for me to give something back.
Yeah. Oh, it does. I mean, without a doubt, it totally does.
Oh, well, that's great.
Patu Towers wants to know, she's asking Sadie, what is it like being one of the hardest working babies in the BYC?
Oh, it's not really work if you're having fun, right?
Right.
That's what Sadie would say.
That makes sense. Yep.
And that's the real answer. Sadie's got a great family and a great support system, and everyone is so good. There's a lot of people in the community who, when Sadie is running one of her events, we are not very available by DM. And there's some people that we talk to quite regularly that, you know, I'll have to pause for a couple of days because I just, there's a human limit to what can be done in a day. And a lot goes into these events. I probably put too much into it, but my focus really does shift that way. So it's really nice that folks in the community are understanding about like Sadie's work schedule and that we need to take a little break. And, you know, I never mean it to hurt anyone's feelings, but I just, you know, I get really focused. There's no other way. And with, because I do really long form comments and I share all the posts of anyone who attends some of my events and stories. I love doing all of these things, but they are a little bit time consuming. And so like you have to make some concessions sometimes to make things work. And
absolutely. Well, you do a good job of getting it all done. I mean,
oh, thanks. I'm slow. Like I'm slower than just about everybody else. I know that. And so folks are so nice to wait like sometimes a day. In a worst case scenario, if I haven't been feeling great, you might have to wait 2 days to hear back from me. But like I say, when I'm on your page, when I'm engaging with your post, we're there and we're there 100%. And we want to share our love for you back with you with like the comments or stories or whatever we're creating.
Yeah. I love it. I don't ever find that it's taking you too long.
Oh.
I'm just still amazed that you're doing it. So you feel like it's taken long, but I don't think it does.
You know what? I suppose because like it's Instagram. Things should be an instantaneous response. And like, I can't keep that pace.
Definitely. No, it's not. It's not Insta for sure when it comes to these events and these parties.
No.
Baby Yoda Peanut asked also to Sadie, what's your favorite part about planning events and how do you make time for all of this, which we already know, but.
Oh yeah. So we know that how we make time. But the favorite part about planning the events is sort of like that sense of, excitement or anticipation about like, sometimes it's about like the specific event, but it's more about what it will mean for the community, how we're going to have a really neat new experience together and hopefully like generate a lot of positive vibes so it's that sense of excitement and being able to like play and have fun together.
Yeah, that's good. That's perfect. Where do you get all of your awesome ideas for parties and events? That's a question from TRX632.
Oh, that's so wonderful. I love them. they're so nice. Well, okay. So contrary to what some people may think, we are not sitting around here, filling notebooks with party ideas all day and night. Well, I mean, there is a notebook and there are some ideas in there, but it's not full and we don't write in it every day. A lot of the ideas really come from my life with the babies. If I'm reading a book or maybe taking a picture of one of the babies reading a book for a post, it'll just kind of pop into my head. That's cute. It would look cute to see other babies reading a book, or it would be fun to share what books we're all reading. And then all of a sudden I have Sadie's favorite book party, birthday party idea. It's just, you know, little things in life, simple, mundane, gives a spark of an idea. And then sometimes the ideas need a bit more work and development. And like, for example, the art show, the International Women's Day event, those are things that are fun and important, but a lot of work goes in behind the scenes to those.
Definitely.
That might not be something that people think about very often, but for those ones, we will have to get out the notebook and jot down ideas. Well, how is this logistically going to work? What do we want to say? What do we not want to say? Mm-hmm. And these kinds of things.
Yeah. Those kinds do take the planning and a little bit more yes. involvement. Yeah, for sure. Okay, some kind of rapid fire questions.
Yeah.
Grogu Little Green wants to know, for Sadie, what's your favorite party dress?
Ooh, well, that's a tough question. probably something purple with sparkles. And because it's Sadie, she actually has a couple options in that category. So
not just one favorite. She's got maybe a couple.
She has multiple favorites. Oh, yeah. But probably her, like, that would be personal style choice. But Sadie's favorite thing is to wear matching dresses with her sisters, Ellie and Valkyrie.
Ah.
So whenever they can do that, that's, and it doesn't have to be a specific outfit, but just when they can be matchy-matchy,
yeah.
That's what she likes.
Oh, perfect. I like that. let's see. This question is from Teeny Tiny Yoda for Professor Kian Gustein.
Yes.
What is your favorite element?
Well, that would be the fifth element, or Teacher Charlie. Thanks to Tattoo Towers dressed him up for his birthday. Kiongo's real answer, favorite element, would be Earth, I think, because you can grow things in the soil, and we really like gardening and plants here, and also you can grow food, so that's obviously a very big factor.
Very much.
And yes, Kiongo just went on his very first fossil hunting trip.
Oh, cool.
And he found a lot of rocks in the ground with fossils, so,
cool.
It would have to be Earth, because, he can have his little scientific discoveries and grow food and plants to eat and enjoy.
Love it. That's good.
Great question. Thank you, Teeny.
Dewey the Child asks, what would your dream vacation look like?
Let's see. For Sadie, the dream vacation would be any place where she gets to be with her boyfriend, Stewie, the best boyfriend ever. and if she got to pick the destination, Sadie is really now into the idea of beach vacations, because Cherry just sent her the most exquisite purple beach towel, which she had embroidered with Sadie's name on it. And it's...
No way!
Yeah, it's a singular gift, like touching beyond words. But now Sadie is all about the beach life, and we're going to go to the beach a lot this summer because she loves this towel. And I guess maybe her and Stewie could go to the beach and meet some horsies.
Oh, that's so cute. Oh.
Stewie's favorite animal.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Beach vacation with Stewie. That's it.
That's a perfect dream vacation, for sure. Baby Grogu wants to know, what is your favorite Mandalorian episode?
Wow.
How do you narrow it down? Gosh.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll have to be honest. And the answer is, it's the finale of season 2, because it has that iconic moment where Mando takes off the helmet to have that special moment or experience to communicate with Grogu in a visual way. I love you. And there's, it's probably the most powerful and profound moment of the show. And so that would have to be my favorite.
Yeah. That one was a tearjerker, to say the least. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of good episodes, like really good episodes, obviously, and a lot of amazingly adorable moments. But that one always, like, that's always stood out to me.
Yeah.
And I don't like to think of, I don't think I'm a terribly emotional person, but man, that scene destroyed me. Like, I must have gone through the whole Kleenex box and like,
oh my god,
on the floor, like, no.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yeah, that was devastating. It was beautiful and devastating, right? Because he was leaving. And, oh my god, I don't really like to think about it, but yeah, that's a good one.
I know. But they're back together and everything is good, and they have their little homestead now.
Yes, yay. It's all happily ever after now.
That's right.
All right, and then so the last one from the community is from Grogu Little Green, yes. And she says, for Ellie, it's no question, but I love you. It's from Itty Crit.
Oh. I love you too, Itty Crit. Vroom, vroom. Kisses. That's from Ellie, of course.
That's so cute. I love the interpersonal, like, relationships and connections that the babies make in the community with their own friends, you know?
Yeah.
It's really such a special thing.
And you have your own, like, little sub-vocabulary or shorthands mm-hmm. for things. It's really cool. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Well, before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to share or any last thoughts or messages for friends?
Well, there's one thing. I would like to share one thing. And quite a while ago, a couple of friends within the community were really kind and were encouraging me to come onto the podcast. But I was a little nervous. But I did say at the time, if I ever came on the podcast, I would say one thing. So I guess my parting thought will be that one thing. And I'm sorry that it's not something really nice and sweet, but I want to let everyone know that Die Hard is the best Christmas movie ever. And if you haven't seen it yet, make sure you watch Die Hard. And I'm so sorry.
I love it. And on that note,
this is the world I live in. Thanks for joining me.
That is the perfect way to wrap it up.
Honestly, thank you so much for having me. This has been a true delight. And if anyone else wants to come on the podcast and is a little bit nervous, it's all in your head. It's so much fun. Give it a try, folks. It's a great experience, and I will have questions for you. So come on the podcast so we can find out more about you.
Perfect. Thank you, Aurora. God, there's still we've been on almost 2 hours, and I could probably talk to you for another 2 hours. I have got so many questions still, but I just thank you so much for all this time you've spent and being willing to share all of these things about you, the babies.
Well, thank you very much. And maybe I'll kind of do what Baby Yoda Peanut did and say, like, you know, have me back again sometime in a while. I need to, like, calm down and get some more stories and, you know, get prepared. But yeah, let's do this again sometime.
Yeah. Yeah. Most definitely.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This has been great.
You're welcome, Aurora. And I'll see you in the community.
Yes. See you there. Bye.
Bye.
And that, dear friends, concludes this episode and the interview with Aurora. You know, sometimes when I'm editing these interviews, it's almost like I'm listening to them for the first time, like it wasn't me doing the interview. So when I was editing Aurora's episode, it reminded me why I'm here in this community and why I love the BYC so much. And it really made me emotional. This community is so very precious and means so much to so many of us. It's nice to be reminded of this from time to time. So thank you, Aurora, for opening up and being willing to share what's in your heart with all of us. And thank you all for listening, because without you all, this podcast wouldn't be here. And I'd also like to remind you to check out the We Are the BYC Instagram page and click the link in the bio to schedule your interview. If a day or time is not available and you can't find anything else that works, just message me. I'm sure we can work something out. We'd all love to hear your story. Thanks, friends. Bye for now.